and welcome to my hearth. Today's episode is about the Victorian writer Wilkie Collins. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get everything I want to say about him into one episode, but I don't mind a mini-series. Certainly today, what I want to really focus on is about the man himself. For me, he is really special. I did say that this second series would sometimes contain recommendations for authors which I think you would like. Sometimes people are put off by the size of a novel. In this modern age, where we are sometimes prevented from really going deep into storytelling and can find that it's being presented to us in tiny chunks, then something like Wilkie Collins, which is probably as long as a Dickens novel, can put people off. However, it is certainly worth the effort. His work is both inventive and imaginative. He is not only a pioneer of certain techniques, but he really develops the Victorian novel into something else. But more of that later. I love the fact that he was really helped and developed by being a friend of Charles Dickens. Dickens is such a complicated and complex character, and I think it went very well with Wilkie Collins to have someone that was as layered as him. I also love the fact that they met through amateur theatricals. Their mutual friend, Edward Bulwer Lytton, had written a play called Not So Bad As We Seem, and they were both in it. As a result, a strong friendship sprung up between them. Even though there was a slight age difference, they remained friends for the rest of their lives, or rather until Charles Dickens died. He encouraged Wilkie Collins and helped him develop his work, also publishing the novels in serialised form in Dickens's own periodicals. I am always amazed just how much Charles Dickens wrote and in how short a time he did it, bearing in mind that he's writing it all by hand with a quill pen. In the 2 years leading up to 1840, he managed to write The Pickwick Papers, Oliver Twist, and Nicholas Nickleby. By the time he met Wilkie Collins 10 years later, he was a highly regarded and established writer. If you are an author and you want a mentor, it would be hard to beat Charles Dickens. Now, why am I mentioning Wilkie Collins at the moment? Well, it's because there is an exhibition about his friendship with Charles Dickens on at the Charles Dickens Museum. It's in honour of their friendship and is special because it's 200 years since the birth of Wilkie Collins in 1824. In background, Wilkie Collins and Dickens really couldn't have been different. I suppose we could describe Wilkie Collins as middle class. Before they met, he had visited abroad, probably at the same time as Charles Dickens was working in a blacking factory. However, they had similar intellectual capacity, and certainly the same type of inventiveness. Remember that for very successful Victorian novelists, the hook for their readers was that the work appeared in serialised form in magazines. That automatically created a style and a format for the storytelling. Every few chapters, or rather each episode, needed to have a cliffhanger at the end of it. And it gives the storytelling narrative drive. You can't afford to wander off into the wide Sargasso Sea of possible becalmedness. You have to keep the reader wanting more as they won't buy the next edition. It also gives you an impetus when you're doing the writing, because you have to have the next section ready before the publication. I have no idea how he did it, but sometimes Charles Dickens was working on more than one novel at the same time. He must have had a brain that could flit from one set of characters to another and have a plot narrative drive based firmly in his head. Now, before they met, Wilkie Collins had not been a terribly successful writer. However, and I'm quoting from an article about the exhibition at the Dickens Museum, he wrote to his mum and said that if good ideas are as infectious as bad, then the end of my novel should be the best part of it. Which suggests that Dickens helped him in constructing or even in the detail of his work. For 20 years, they were the best of friends and they bounced ideas off of each other and also worked together. The correspondence between them was both frank and non-judgmental, bearing in mind, as I said, both of them were rather unusual characters. Dickens had the most extraordinary time in his relationships with women. More of that another time. Wilkie Collins had two serious relationships, but he never married because he didn't approve of it. Even though, in his second relationship, he fathered three children. One of the things which formed and framed his character was that he wasn't particularly well. For 2 years he lived abroad with his parents, which probably helped his health to be in a warmer climate. Whilst he was abroad with them in both Italy and France, he learnt both of the languages and in fact became fluent in both. His father had come from a successful artistic family, and his grandfather was the Scottish painter David Wilkie, hence Wilkie's name. His father wanted him to have a successful career. It was a very Victorian thing to do. Initially they thought about the church, but in fact Wilkie went into the law, something which helped him in later life. However, he was a natural storyteller. There is one anecdote about him that his storytelling prowess was brought to the fore when he was at boarding school and in fact was being bullied by an older pupil who made him tell him a story every night before he went to bed. Wilkie realised he was really good at it and was in fact a natural-born storyteller. He wrote that after he had left school, he continued storytelling for his own pleasure. I think it is telling that he did not become a professional writer until after his father had died. This coincided with his meeting Charles Dickens. He had a short story published in Dickens's periodical, which was called An Awfully Strange Bed. But the flourishing of his career was interrupted almost as soon as it started by him having an attack of gout, a very severe one. Now, at that particular time, you could only treat the symptoms, the pain, and he started to take opium. Dickens tried to help him as much as he could, and eventually Wilkie Collins joined the staff of Household Words, Dickens's magazine. The two of them collaborated on various projects, including short stories and plays, and articles and journals. Wilkie Collins was developing his writing style in that second half of the 1850s, before he hit the big time with his breakthrough novels in the 1860s. I want to talk about them in more detail, so I'll leave that till the next episode. However, what happened to him? Well, the first main thing after the breakthrough novels was the actual death of Charles Dickens. This hit Wilkie Collins particularly hard because they had spent so much time together, going on holiday together, writing together, seeing each other every day. After Dickens died, Wilkie Collins was not the same again. He followed in the footsteps of Charles Dickens and went to America to read his own breakthrough texts, and he was very popular. However, his writing was not as good after Dickens died. Moreover, his health really deteriorated, including his eyesight becoming extremely bad. This could have been as a result of the amount of laudanum that he was taking to deal with the pain of his gout. There were still flashes of genius, but in general, he was a lot more inconsistent. And as a result, he was a lot less popular. Eventually, his health deteriorated so much that he couldn't go out and he spent nearly all of his time at home. However, he continued to coach other writers and to encourage them. He also used his legal background to help them, especially in dealing with their day-to-day concerns about contracts and copyright. It is interesting that he had also learnt from Dickens to spread his net wide when he was writing, because he continued to write plays, short stories, novels and articles. The friendship was obviously very deep, and in fact there were several articles and short stories based on trips that they took together and time that they spent with each other abroad. We can only speculate as to what his career would have been had Charles Dickens not died early. However, any writer would have been proud if he'd written just one of the great novels that Wilkie Collins did. So in the next episode, we'll consider two of his famous works, The Woman in White and The Moonstone, and explore what it is about them that makes them so good, and how they changed the landscape of Victorian novel writing. We also mustn't underestimate the effect that they've had on later, more modern writers. So more of that next time.